Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thank you, Taylor. See, it brings me right back to it. And this is when he hung the mic out to the crowd, like, hook me up right here. Emily, I need you to pay very close attention to what I'm about to say here, because this is where Taylor's very shrewd suggestion for Gus is already starting to pay dividends. Andy put a poll out about whether or not we'd want a centaur to be the star of our impending film. And what were the results, Andy?
Yeah, I said no and no.
Okay, well, I have a poll out at Cam Brothers. Do you like centaurs? And would you like to watch a centaur play basketball? Your choices are yes and yes, yes and no, no and yes, no and no. So far, early voting, but nearly 53% say yes and yes. They would like to. They like centaurs, would like to watch a centaur play basketball. 17% say they like centaurs but don't want to watch one play basketball.
It's fish out of water.
Yeah, just, you know, I like a centaur, but I want to see a centaur in their natural environment. 8% say no, they don't like centaurs, but yes, they would like to watch one play basketball.
Interesting subset.
And then a little under 21% say no, they don't like centaurs, no, they don't want to watch one
really
play basketball.
This really changes it from an Air Bud movie to being a human that has just different features.
Well,
so it's really a different movie if you make it a centaur.
See, just when you think we were slowly getting her on board, she's
half
just
mule, half man. Come
yes.
on,
yes.
Then it's more man than mule.
We can design her own half man, half donkey.
At Cow Shannon, Botcher on Twitter reached out to us, said minotaurs are better, two legs, so less chance of getting called for not moving out of the paint, stronger upper body.
That's the one that's got a bull head. Is
I
that what
so.
A minotaur is? I believe. My mythology is lacking.
Well, I'm not doing another poll.
Well, dialogue.
I think it's just two legs as opposed to four.
But one of them has the head of a bull or a buffalo or instead of a goat. Maybe it's a goat. I don't know.
Minotaur versus centaur.
You guys are right. Minotaur is the one with the bull head, a human body.
Yes.
Centaur is like donkey, horse body, and human torso.
Yes.
So the thing is, the dialogue changes if it's a centaur.
Does a centaur have arms?
Yes.
This
so
one
the one
does.
In Harry Potter. But if you have a donkey, then you have to have like the animated stuff, and it seems more like.
See,
or
here
it
she goes
speak,
with the animation.
But in the centaur,
it's like she's not listening.
I'm just saying the dialogue is different if it's a donkey versus a centaur.
No, I don't think that it
Emily, we so
much.
Badly want to involve you with this project, and it's like you're begging us not to.
It's like, look, sometimes, like, not everything is for everybody.
No.
And I think this is one of those times where we're going to move forward without her participation.
Apparently
Taylor has now got an EP credit on this thing. Even if we don't go with the centaur theme, just your general understanding of the project is helpful.
And the music direction, please.
Oh, would you like to write the score?
I would, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a big break for you, Taylor.
Yeah, look, we've got actors, Jay Moore. We've got a score, Taylor Smith. We've clearly got a writing team
yes,
that is
we do.
In sync.
Yes, we do. We're going to have to hold a very...
Then you have a hater.
Yes. You're the critic who just destroys our movie.
Yeah, you're the person from, like, film Twitter, movie Twitter, that just keeps throwing out all the stuff you don't like about this movie that's just sweeping film culture.
Taylor, are you going to do kind of a Scorsese approach where it's a mostly contemporary music?
You mean
as
all
your
Rolling
score?
Stone songs?
Like yes, Scorsese.
How does Gimme Shelter sound on a fiddle?
Or,
I think Beast of Burden has to be the first, I mean, the opening credits.
Or are you going to do some composition, like an actual orchestra?
Oh, like original?
Mixture of both, yeah. I need to see some stills of the film so I can, you know, get some inspiration.
The au revoir. Oeuvre, whatever you say. It's the one with the E on the
yes.
end, that word. The O-U-Ouvre. That's what I was going.
I don't know.
Something like that. Lakers have 23 games left. All of the mathematical models, like 538 and whatnot, say there is a far greater chance they miss than they get in. Let's try Mark in Chino Hills.
Sorry, you just actually
Mark just bounced? All right, Mark said they weren't getting in, and so does every mathematician that has a website, Andy, that they're not going to get in. Another team that is very unlikely to get in, different sport, the Anaheim Angels, Los Angeles Anaheim Angels, whatever they're going by, the Angels. The agent for Shohei Ohtani was asked if he'd be open to negotiating an extension during the spring for Ohtani. Keep in mind, Ohtani's a free agent at the end of the year. I've always been open to it, but there are several layers to this one, and Shohei's earned the right to play through the year, explore free agency, and we'll see where it shakes out. Said it before, I'll say it again. We're taking one day at a time. I'm not putting the cart before the horse on this one, so it all comes back to horses and carts. The Angels seem to be the only ones that are entertaining the premise that this is not fait accompli, that this is not already done, that he is leaving. And the longer they refuse this idea or think that they're in the mix, I don't know if it's necessarily detrimental to them, because I think he's going to move during the season. I think they have to move him during the season, because once you get, and it's usually the end of July, once we get close to the end of July, teams like the Dodgers and the Mets are going to be moving heaven and earth to try to get this done. They're going to be coming in with some of the more remarkable packages to trade for Shohei Ohtani than they're ever going to see. The one thing that can't happen is, hey, we think we got him, we're not going to trade him, and then he leaves for nothing. They have to move him, and in a weird upside-down, inside-out kind of way, it's actually really good news for the – I know you don't want to lose a transcendent, you know, once-in-a-multi-generation talent like Ohtani, but the way that you're going to get better is by getting a bunch of good players, not having one extraordinary one.
Well, here's the thing about them, too. Right now, they have to project confidence that he's staying, because there's the gamesmanship battle going on for potential negotiations down the road. Like, you don't ever in these situations project panic, even if internally you are soiling yourself. Like, you have to put it out there that we are confident that we can convince this guy to stay. That has to be the external projection. That has to be the internal projection. I'm sure they're already hearing from other teams. Like, there's a certain amount of song and dance that you have to do that's just part of this. What really matters is just deep down in that building, how much do they really think they can keep him? Or, in the case of Artie Moreno, how much would he be willing to admit, I failed in my ability to keep him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, preemptively admitting this before you just recognize it because the dude walked out the door.
Where it gets doubly complicated, and this is unlikely but not impossible. The Angels might be good. They might have put together a team that will be competitive past the All-Star break. Now, you could also look at it the other way. They've made the playoffs in 9 years. They've basically been out of it by the All-Star break during Ohtani's entire tenure here. But let's say you get into the middle of July and you are either in first place or close to it. You're inside the line for the playoffs. You're significantly over 500. You have a decent team. And the reason you have a decent team is Shohei Ohtani is pitching at an All-Star level and he's clubbing home runs. You know he's leaving. He's leaving. All he has ever said is, I want to play on a winning team. I want to play in the World Series. I want to go here. I want to do this. That is not the Angels. Even if they get hot this year and win a bunch of games, that doesn't mean they're a winning team. It means they're having a good season. There's a huge difference between having a good season and doing what the Dodgers do, the Braves do, the Astros do, teams that are good year after year after year. Do you trade him then? We actually have a look at this. We're close. We're more likely than not to get into the playoffs. But this guy's leaving. And if we trade him now, we're out of it. But we got one shot to put him in it.
Well, okay, you know the roster better than I do. Is the reason that this team could be better this year, is it made up of new guys who could be around for a while?
Well, we'll use Tyler Anderson as an example, who they got from the Dodgers for 3 years. They have some young pitchers like Reed Detmers who are developing, that are not quite good yet, but they might be good. They have an opportunity to kind of put some of these things together.
Because the one scenario where they are unexpectedly better this season than people predicted, that maybe can sell Ohtani on staying, is if he feels like, okay, this is a foundation that actually will be good moving forward.
But
I know that, like, look, at some point you have to just buy, you have to buy into the future as opposed to harping on the past.
Yes.
Like the past.
But what if the same guy's in charge of the future that built the bad past?
maybe they got lucky. Like if you have young players who are good, in certain respects, it doesn't matter how you got there. What matters is, are they good? And if you actually believe that they are good, that's the rationale for Ohtani staying.
This is the fascinating part to me with this, that they might be good. There's a chance that they could be good. But if I'm Ohtani and I know that Artie Moreno has run the team the way that he has, that he is involved in things that he probably should not be involved in from a baseball perspective, that you just kind of got a good team together, that happens occasionally. Sometimes you just get a good team and you have an ownership group that doesn't have the vision to build a good organization. If I'm Ohtani, I'm saying, listen, I get it that we're good. Mike Trout's healthy. These pitchers are performing at a level maybe a little bit higher than we thought. But I know that this thing is built on a foundation of sand and it's not going to last. I'm telling you guys right now, I'm out of here. They have to move him at that point.
Well, if he's that up front internally about I plan to leave, like the way Paul George had been with the Pacers mm-hmm. when they eventually moved him to the Thunder. He just told them, like, I'm going to be leaving. Anthony Davis, in so many words, told the Pelicans, I'm going to be leaving. Chris Paul told the then New Orleans Hornets, in so many words, I will be leaving. That's one thing. What will make this really complicated is if Ohtani doesn't really give them direct signals, like really direct.
Even if no signal is a direct signal, in my estimation. That by saying, hey, listen, we're kind of on, what are you thinking? Oh, I'm going to let this play out. That's very clearly I'm leaving.
But, I mean, here's the thing. Sometimes you can do all the right things and someone leaves anyway. Like Kawhi Leonard, when he got moved to the Raptors, they have good front office, good coach, a team that won a championship. And at the end of the day, Kawhi did not want to be there. I don't think because of anything that he disliked about them or mm-hmm. anything they did wrong. He just wanted to be somewhere else.
Let's try a quick phone call here. Ontario and Rich. Rich, you're on with Trav and Andy. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Look, as much as I love Ohtani, we got to get rid of him. The Angels have too much to rebuild. I mean, unless we get rid of Moreno, that team is just going nowhere. I've been a fan for years and years and years and seen them do the same exact thing. It's like, come on, guys, get rid of him. Bring in some new talent to try to help the club in the long term before you give him his value. That's it.
They think that's the question that they've got to make. That is... Look, for round numbers, I'm going to get 10 prospects for Ohtani, okay? Just for round numbers. Odds of two of them being good, pretty darn good. The odds of one of them being very good, not too bad. And if you get one or two more that are at least major league, and I got five guys on my made, none of them are Ohtani, but one of them is an all-star caliber player. Another one is a borderline all-star. And then I got a couple of guys that I can play. That's how you build a team.
This has been the argument for the last several years for moving Mike Trout if you're the Angels. Like, if you can't figure out a way to win with Mike Trout, then you need to turn Mike Trout into a better foundation that maybe can win. Like, that's essentially the argument.
Trade him today to the Dodgers. There, I'm done. We figured it out.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of this is just you projecting.
What do you mean? I have no idea what you're talking about. I think he'd look good in blue. Just seems like it's his color.
Bring out his eyes.
Yes. I feel like he would be a very striking figure
yes.
in Dodger blue along the way. All right, are the Lakers 23 games left? Can they find their way in? That's coming up next. Plus, Sean McVay, still the youngest coach in the league? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Emily, have you confirmed with Mace that he's going to do Factor Cap with us today?
Yeah, he was talking about it in Super Crosstalk yesterday that he's always wanted to be a part of Factor Cap, so texted him this morning and he's going to be a part of it. I might have some specifically Mace-centered Factor Cap,
okay.
So be tuned for that.
All right, so Mace is going to join us Factor Cap about 12 minutes from right now. We got a couple of quick tweets I want to get to. This is from Eagles Lakers that writes, Trav, this is why you stretch. Don't even get me started on that again. My knee joint does not need to be stretched. This is not a muscle injury. This is a skeletal injury, and I don't think that I can stretch my leg and knee bones. I don't think that's the problem that we're going on here. Mello wants to know if I've been day-to-day or downgraded to questionable. I don't know the distinction. What's the difference, Andy? Do you know what those things mean?
I think day-to-day is more confidence that okay. You're going to pull through.
Then I'm day-to-day.
Okay.
I'm day-to-day.
You're feeling good.
I'm basically like Wolverine. I heal quickly. Nice. I come back with a vengeance. We'll see.
But here's the irony. In order to come back with a vengeance, you can't practice between now and the tournament.
Well, that's probably going to happen anyway.
You'll be on ice.
I can't risk another setback if I go and practice more. One more. This is from Tim. Is this Oscar-worthy donkey movie going to be in theaters, or is it both theaters and streaming? And if streaming, which platform will it be on? This feels like a theatrical release to me, Andy.
Well, it feels like a theatrical release, but some of the streamers, they've been doing some really good work
okay.
of late. Same time, though, a lot of them have been scaling back their productions and budgets. Yeah, you know what? Let's go old school.
Yeah.
Let's go old school. Straight up theatrical release.
I think so. At least for, a couple weeks before we put it on? That seems to be the
Cannes?
Thing.
Is it premiering at Sundance? What are we doing film festival-wise?
Good question.
Ooh.
See? Now, welcome back to the team. This is helpful.
I'm trying to think that...
I feel like this is more of a domestic film than an international one.
It's going to be a 10-minute
Yeah, I don't know if Cannes is the right place for this.
Well, Cannes is where you get the prestige premiere.
Okay.
Maybe like Toronto Film Festival. This feels like
a
TIFF.
Spot. Yeah.
This feels like a TIFF.
Does like Arcadia have a film festival?
Or Southwest.
South by Southwest would be good. They like offbeat stuff over there.
Well, this is as mainstream as it gets. Are we sure we have the right audience?
Well, it's mainstream, but you don't realize it until you watch it.
It's like sneaky mainstream.
It is. It's satire that is disguised as outlandish. But then when you watch it, you realize, my God, this is grounded. This is a grounded look at politics and sports and family.
I do see it on Disney Plus has a dual theatrical release at the same time. You pay more for the Disney Plus to watch it that weekend. And, because, it works for Disney Plus. And, Gus lives on Disney Plus
now. Gus is a Disney property. Maybe there's some synergy there.
Could be
we
some synergy.
We are quasi-Disney employees.
I was going to say, they're listening right now. I mean, if anything, they might be going forward with this, with or without us.
All right. Capitano Matt says the VP should be named Brutus, #et2. Yeah. I think of all the things when it comes to making movies that would be a maze or TV shows or whatever, getting to name the characters is kind of something that I feel like I would be good at. Like, as far as directing goes, I'm a big picture guy. Like, I can't tell you, put the camera over
not
here,
detail,
light it this
man.
Way. Not into the details. Big picture, I can name some guys. So I'll put that into consideration. Let's try a phone call. Let's go to Beverly Hills and John. John, you're on with Trav and Andy. What's up, John? John. John's not there. John.
Okay, John had some good points, but he's just not there.
The two people that have called about the Lakers, one said that they're not going to make it. John thought that John's back. John, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
There you are, John. What's up?
First of all, I have to say Andy is the best ESPN fill-in guest of all time. I mean, he's got more game than Mason and Keyshawn and can step into their spots right away and upgrade the shows. Second,
is this your brother or something, Andy?
This is the best caller we've ever had. I'll tell you right now, John, you are the best caller we've ever had.
The 80s is absolutely the best decade for music because, the musicians were actually playing music and not a synthesizer. For me, absolutely, Purple Rain is number one, but you got to go back and listen to Rush, Tom Sawyer. That three guys making that much music is incredible. Listen to the drum and listen to the guitar rips. As far as the Lakers, I think they can do it. My only concern is, first of all, Rob Pelinka did his job, okay? So let's give him props. But my only concern is the consistency of AD and the coaching staff. We've seen this broken record all season. They're the worst team in the league for three-point defense and the worst team in the league for transition defense. You know, I mean, Darvin Ham may be a leader of men, but he's no Notre Dame. You know, when you see a problem like that, you got to fix it. They're sagging into the paint and playing this semi-zone. And when a guy's got it going from three, you got to match up and stay with them. And I just don't see the coaching staff making that happen.
Thanks for the call, John. Not as much as Andy thanks you for the call, but a good call nonetheless.
No, John, thank you. Thank you very much.
I think he brings up an important part. We mention this occasionally, we being me and Al, but I don't think we mention it nearly enough. The Lakers don't shoot well. The Lakers need Anthony Davis to be healthy. The Lakers need to make sure that LeBron is as healthy as he can be in his 20th season. All the things that we do talk about a lot, Lakers need to play better defense. And this was supposed to be the peg that Darvin Ham hung his hat on, that we're going to get after you defensively, that effort and defense are going to be the hallmarks of this team. They do play hard. He absolutely knocked that target down as far as that we're going to go out there and we're going to compete for, you know, 48 minutes a night. They do that. Their defense is dreadful.
Well, I agree with John in part of it. Their transition D is awful, and it's been awful all season. As far as guarding the three, it may not feel like it in the moment, and you always remember the times where teams are hitting threes against you. Statistically, they're actually not bad guarding threes at all. And I don't know if maybe over the last month and a half, it's been dramatically worse.
Mm-hmm.
They're currently the sixth best team in the league at guarding the three.
That feels almost impossible to believe.
I'm just telling you.
I believe that you're reading the number correctly, but the eye test and the field test feels like not only do they give up a lot of threes, they give up a lot of open threes, it feels like. I mean, the math is saying otherwise, but I don't know how many times I've been watching those games. Can we please get a hand in somebody's face out there?
Okay, they do actually have a lot of threes attempted against them. But as far as threes made, not as bad as you would expect. And the overall percentage is, again, teams shoot the sixth worst three-point percentage against the Lakers in the league.
It feels like all of these things need to get significantly better, that Anthony Davis needs to play significantly more and significantly better. D'Angelo Russell needs to be a big upgrade to what you had before. LeBron James needs to continue to do what he's done, but just do it more often, to play in more games. Everybody needs to be better if they're going to get back into
this thing. The margin for error with the Lakers for blank is basically razor thin.
Yeah.
It is basically non-existent. So while their three-point percentage defense might be better insofar as the numbers than the eye test, it's got to be better anyway. It just, they can allow themselves few to no mistakes the rest of this way.
And they're going to be that razor's margin that you're talking about. Golden State, at Dallas, at Memphis, at OKC, right out of the chute, and then home again against Minnesota. Those five games. You lose two out of those three. Now, all of a sudden, you're down to 18 games. You're six games under 500. And now it's, I don't want to say impossible, but we're approaching impossible at that point. Win three of those five. Now you're four games under 500. And you've at least inched a little bit closer to that magic 500 thing. If 500 is the number to get you in, at least we're kind of on the right track at that point. This idea of, well, we got 23 games. You basically have five or six is what it is. Those five or six need to be on the right side of 500. If they're not, if you go 2-4, even if you go 3-3, you're in a really tricky spot with time left and how far behind you are.
Yeah, later on in this week, I'm going to be sitting in on Mason in Ireland. And I believe tomorrow I'm with Mace and then Thursday and Friday with John. And I already, and I'm bracing myself and anticipating John Ireland making the case that none of these games are must win until it's the last one before the season is eliminated.
Like, no.
He's going to make this argument. I've worked with John enough. I've heard John enough. The reality is these games are must win, especially the ones you are
the
chasing.
The literal must win, sure. But as far as the practical must win is a totally
the
different
reality
thing.
Of what you're trying to do. Yes, if you lose the opening three out of the All-Star game, your season is not over, but it's over.
Those six games out of the break, they've got to win four of them, or
yes,
we're in a must-win
especially
territory.
The games against the teams they're chasing.
No
they
doubt.
They have to win those games.
Mace is here. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Slee, and he's in for Slee on 710 ESPN.
Hey guys, welcome in, Mace.
Thank you
for
I'm
joining
so excited.
Us.
I always wanted to do Fact.
All you had to do was ask. Yeah. You asked yesterday, and here you are.
I know. I'm excited.
How do you like the ideas for Gus 3.0? What's it called?
Gus 3.0 is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of a Pegasus. I thought that was too much. That's a bridge too far. But I do like the generally speaking the concept.
The
and
theme.
I agree with Andy. No de-aging.
No de-aging.
No de-aging.
Right, we can take that. Do you like the idea?
And shoot them all at the same time. Avatar,
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, yeah.
What about the idea of our Gus kind of clandestinely playing sports behind his father's back, who forbade it because his own father was in the league?
I kind of like
or
it.
Or is this something that he discovers in the attic, like an old picture that launches him in this
direction? Because this has got to be a family. It's about a family.
It's basically Coco with
the family.
It's all about the family. Would say, yeah.
It also has to be a tight 90. It can't be anything over two.
90 minutes. Yes.
Another very tight good 90. Idea. Yep. Welcome back to the team. Emily's been crapping all over our idea. She's really not on board with that.
I have just logical questions that need to be answered, but we're getting
there. There's a lot of logic involved in this pitch.
Thank you, Mace. He gets it.
All right,
why
so this,
can't you get on board, Emily?
The first question or first statement is from Taylor, and this is a very Mace-centered statement. So this is a scenario in which you had to either shut down all donut shops or shut down all dispensaries. All right, so this is the world that we're living in. You had to choose one or the other. So if you had to shut down one, you would shut down a donut shop. Taylor, Factor Cap. Oh, sorry, Travis, Factor Cap.
Oh, I would shut down the donut shops in a second before the dispensaries. I could take or leave a donut. I don't dislike them, but I don't have to have them. The other thing, it's part of my lifestyle that I enjoy a great deal, and I would be really disappointed if the dispensaries shuttered their doors.
This is fact. I would give up donuts. I would not give up cannabis no matter what. Actually, you know, it's weird. I have not eaten donuts so far in 2023.
Was that a resolution?
Ooh. Resolution, yeah. No donuts, no delivery, no
almost
nothing.
Almost got 2 months knocked out.
Cut 7 pounds so far. Yeah.
How many donuts
Very
were you
stealth.
Eating?
I was eating a lot, man. I was eating way too many. Way too many.
Andy?
Not only would I get rid of the donut shop before the cannabis dispensary, it would actually, if you have children, getting rid of those donut shops just makes one thing easier for you in life, not having to argue about stops, things like that. That's a no-brainer. Buy donuts.
Taylor?
I would go with the dispensary because, I mean, it's still possible to, you know, find weed elsewhere.
Ah. It existed beforehand.
Back alley weed? Is that what you're talking
just
about?
Like it's 2007. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're a musician. You can find weed.
Yeah, he's got a hookup. If you need anything, let him know. Yeah,
exactly. I got to save the donut shop.
You could also make donuts at home. So, Taylor, you could learn a craft.
That's
maybe.
A good point, but who's doing that?
Were you like a donut chain guy? Are you going to independent donut places or do you not discriminate?
It's called DK's Donuts and it's in Santa Monica, okay. And I order from them every single time. Those are my donuts. Those are my people.
Mace, you should have a donut named after you.
How long before they go out of business if you're not a part of it?
Well, you know, we went there live and in person because the idea is don't deliver, right? So one night we did go there. This is the one night we did have donuts. We went there live and in person and I was like, there should be a plaque here, man. We probably ordered donuts 50 times last year. So there should be a plaque, the Steve Mason Memorial Donut. I guess not memorial, but yeah.
It's like when you go into some of those like celebrity restaurants and they've got the photos all
yes,
over.
Exactly. My picture should
Do
be
you
up.
Like the same ones too?
Yes, vanilla cream, yep. Double dunked old fashioned.
Nice. Wow. Love that. Yeah. All right, so this next one, we know, Mace, you love taking vacations. Travis is about to go on a vacation. And so you are so there's two types of people when they take time off. You're either a vacation person, which means that you go to some place and you sit there and you do nothing. You just relax. You don't really explore. You get to a nice place and you sit there and you do nothing. And that's the time off part. Or are you a trip person, which means that you like to have everything planned out, you like to be very busy on your time off. So you are a vacation person and not a trip person. Mace, Factor Cap.
I am. It is fact. I like to go somewhere and just sit. We usually go somewhere where they've got hot waters, thermal waters, like that kind of thing. You lay around, you soak, you read, you do kind of nothing. I've never been one of those guys who's got the complicated itinerary. We're going to see the waterfall on this day. We're going to go horseback riding. I've
10
never
minutes
been that
behind
guy.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's get it going.
I know people like that. Yeah. But Juan and I, thankfully, agree on the vacation style of vacation.
Nice. Andy?
Honestly, I'm in the middle. like I don't want to have some regimented, we do 9 different things each day. Like, I don't want it to be hectic, but sitting on a beach for 7 days, I will get bored. Like, after a while, that I feel like I could have just gone to Malibu and done that. I don't need to go to like Mexico or Europe or somewhere like that. I just wanted to see like maybe 1-2 things tops. Get some time there, soak it in, and then by the afternoon you're done, you can go back to relaxing.
Trev?
I'm a vacation person typically, but kind of like what Andy's saying. I wouldn't mind if I got a week off. I want to do 2 things. Wherever we're going, we're going to do 2 things, but I don't need to have it hardwired in we're doing this at this day and this time. We're going to get over to that thing at some point. Maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow, but I like the idea of eating, sleeping, and just kind of wandering around. That's the trip that I like. I do not need an itinerary. It gives me anxiety.
Taylor?
Mixture of both for me. So day one, you get in, decompress a little bit, just chill out in the hotel or wherever, relax a little bit. The days in between, go out and explore, and then the last day, decompress again.
I think it depends on the length of the trip and where I'm going. So if I'm going to go visit a friend in their city, that needs to be a trip thing. Like, we're doing a lot of stuff. We're seeing all their favorite places. But if it's longer and I'm just going to the beach or if I'm just going to the mountains, I think that adds a lot of relaxation time. So it kind of depends on what you're doing. So there's a photo/video that's kind of circling around that someone on a plane had an entire rack of ribs and sides eaten on the plane.
I've seen this photo.
All right. So eating a rack of ribs on a plane is rude. Andy, fact or cap?
That's a fact. That's too much accessory. I mean, there's too many bones that are going to be laying around. Too many, like, rib sides, barbecue sides tend to be pretty elaborate.
What were they?
And
beans,
messy.
Slaw, mac and cheese?
I want to say it was like fries, slaw, and maybe like beans.
There was a cheese item. There was some maybe type mac, of very melty cheese item.
Yeah. And they brought their own ribs?
It was like essentially like, you know how there's like a box of donuts that looks like that? It was like the size of a box of donuts, but it was just like the
rib meal.
Accoutrement.
Yeah, that is fact. That is rude. That is inconsiderate to everyone else around you. It's also totally impractical. You're an idiot for doing that.
Eat your little... Oh, I was going to go fact. Eat your little bag of peanuts and your little cookie they hand you. But you bring... You know, like, I was in a flight where a guy bought a whole thing of Chinese food from Panda Express. I'm like, no. No, that's not the way we roll here.
You have sandwiches?
It's really rude.
You can have sandwiches, but like no smelly sandwiches.
You can
no
have
salads.
A turkey sandwich. Yes. You can't have a tuna sandwich.
Yes, like I absolutely agree.
There are rules to these sorts of things. I'm going to go the other way, however, because the airlines have stripped you of any bells and whistles at all. If you're on a flight of any significant length, you're going to want to eat something at some point. The little bag of salty snacks and the half a can of Coke that they give you is not going to do the trick. And the way that people travel right now, being the guy with a rack of ribs, you're like the least offensive person on the plane. The way that people dress, they take their shoes off, they're bringing animals.
Yeah.
Just having something that smells like a barbecue pit actually isn't so bad in the grand scheme of things.
Have you guys recently ordered like full food on a plane? Like when I flew home, I think for Thanksgiving, I ordered a hamburger on the plane. Have you guys done that recently?
No. I have not.
Not recently. I get a can of Pringles and that's it.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Taylor?
Fact. Yeah, this is rude. Unless you brought enough for everyone, then be fine.
One rib for every seat.
Sure, exactly.
All right, so this next one, I was listening to a podcast, and their producer says, and I don't know exactly his age, but I would say he's roughly my age, probably 25, 26, 27. And he was saying that he still only eats chicken nuggets, that's his entirety of his diet consists of chicken nuggets and maybe fries, like added in maybe a broccoli here and there. So picky eaters are a red flag. Taylor, fetch or cap?
Yeah. I don't know. I think at that point in your life, it's just embarrassing. You know, you have to expand a little bit. Fact.
If a girl went to a nice restaurant and she just ordered
chicken tenders and fries.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a red flag?
Not if it's the first date, but if it's a 10th date and that's all she's ordered since then, yeah.
You also might want to ask for some ID.
Travis?
Being a picky eater is fine until it intrudes on the group, right? Like if you are the I'll only eat nuggets and fries person and you want to live your life like that, whatever. What do I care? It doesn't bother me. But if I can't go to a place because they don't have nuggets and fries on the menu and now it's affecting everyone else because you will only eat the one thing, that's ridiculous. You can't have it affect everybody else. So yes, it is a red flag because at some point, it's little, I don't know if it's OCD or something. You need to open up something. You need to have a burger, a hot dog, a steak, a piece of salmon, something.
Mace?
That's a fact. I could not be with somebody who didn't have a somewhat adventurous palate.
Yes.
Right? Like, for example, chicken finger person, we're going to go to Katsuya tonight. It's like,
no, you're not.
No, we're not, right?
Well,
we're going to go to Fleming's. No, we're not. You got to broaden your horizons. There are very few things that I won't eat. Very few. I
have two.
You have two?
I have two. Cauliflower what? And cinnamon.
Cauliflower is good, man.
Cauliflower is good.
Cauliflower is good. Cauliflower pizza crust?
I can't.
Awesome.
No, thanks. Stop.
Not better than pizza crust.
I made pizza over the weekend. I've got, it's like basically like an indoor pizza stone type oven. It's
fancy.
It's fantastic. I put roasted cauliflower on a vegetable pizza. It's phenomenal.
Travis is not in on that.
No, I'm in on pizza. I'm not in on cauliflower.
So it's only cauliflower
pizza.
And?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
I cannot think of a thing that I wouldn't at least try.
Yeah. If you said to me this is literally anything other than those two things, I'd try it.
Yeah.
I can't do funnel cake because I had
funnel cake.
I had a bad
delicious.
Experience when I was a kid, and now it's
Did the powdered sugar stick in the back of your throat and
no,
you choked?
No. We were on a Girl Scout trip in New Jersey, and we went to the Jersey Shore. We ate some funnel cake.
Oh,
and
the
then
shore, yeah.
The ride home.
At the beach. Yep.
Everybody vomited.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
What
no,
about a
you.
Scoop of ice cream on the funnel cake? Oh, now you're talking.
Melts
now
a little
talking.
Bit.
Where on the shore did you go? We always went to Wildwood. Wildwood,
yes,
New Jersey.
It was Wildwood. It was like the one with the big Ferris wheel.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where we went. I went to Asbury Park and stuff too, but yeah, Wildwood was great. Andy, what about you with picky eaters?
I'm not into that. I'm like Mace. I'm a pretty adventurous eater. I'll try just about everything. It also, I'll tell you what happens in my house. Nobody is necessarily picky, but we don't all eat the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it can get logistically difficult and where you end up starting to settle into a bit of a rut, because as somebody who does a lot of the cooking in the house, I just start thinking about simplicity, like what can make everybody happiest the easiest, as opposed to coming up with three different meals in a certain amount of time.
In my household, we've got it down. If it hits four of the five people in the house, that's good enough. If you're the fifth odd man out, you're on your own. You can make a PB&J that night.
By the way, couldn't be with a vegan. Couldn't be with a gluten-free.
Years
whatever
gluten-free
person.
Would be hard to navigate.
Yeah, that's tough.
Years ago, I dated this girl for maybe like a month or so that was like a hardcore vegan. Mm. The only place we could go to eat, because this is before like vegan eating was really even an option, we'd have to go to Real Food Daily.
I know Real Food Daily.
Every
oh,
single
nothing's
time.
Even cooked there. It's like
raw
all a big
only?
Salad. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, no.
I have one more left for you guys. So we all are so excited for Cocaine Bear to come out this week.
Oh,
I have my
yeah.
ticket for Thursday. I'm super stoked. So it is Ray Liotta's last performance. It's his last movie that's going to be coming out. So I have this. Put yourself in the shoe of a very famous actor. You would rather be known for a cult classic, like something like a Cocaine Bear may turn out to be, or an award-winning performance that might be more serious that people don't always go back and rewatch. So you would rather be known for a cult classic over an award-winning performance. Mace, Fetter, Cap.
Cap. I'm in this for the awards. I want to win an Oscar. I want to win a Grammy.
People's Choice.
People's Choice.
There are no
awards.
There's no such thing as enough awards for me.
No, I just want the awards, so it's an easy choice for me.
Andy?
You could ask Mace, would you rather give a bunch of great performances that never win awards or a bunch of crappy performances that get you all the awards? He's choosing crappy.
Yep, give me crappy performances and win the trophy.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Ray Liotta with this, because I've always thought about him, like, he obviously had a great career and he was a really great actor, but I don't think he was as big as his talent was. But I always think about, he was Henry Hill in Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is the performance that if I were him, I'd be like, whatever happens with the rest of my career, I'm good. Like, I am in Martin Scorsese's best movie and I'm the center of this movie with prime De Niro, prime Pesci, prime Paul Sorvino, Lorraine Bracco. I'm in basically every scene of the movie. And I crushed it. Like, that would be enough for me.
Yeah.
No matter what happens
didn't
from there.
Didn't win an Oscar, so
he wasn't
pass on
he wasn't
that.
Nominated.
No, wasn't he nominated?
No.
Oh, that's a crime.
No, yeah. De Niro, interestingly, I think was nominated for Best Actor from it.
But he wasn't the lead.
And nothing for Ray Liotta.
No, Pesci won Best Supporting,
yes.
And Bracco was nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
And nothing for Liotta.
No, remember, it lost that year to Dances with Wolves. for Best Picture.
Ugh. Yeah, I hated that movie.
Yeah,
Trev.
I would want to have the career with a bunch of big blockbuster hits that everybody knows, but if we can kind of split the hair here a little bit, like, I don't know if this is a cult classic because it's very, very popular, but a movie like Dazed and Confused, right?
That's a great movie, yeah.
That you have, like, Ben Affleck is in it. He's almost unrecognizable in it, right? So that if you could have both, that I'm in this kind of cult classic-y movie that a lot of people have seen, but you also are in mega, mega blockbusters that you're doing. What was the one where they snuck the hostages out? Argo.
Argo,
And all of these sort of, that would be the one where you get a little bit of both, that you have this massive career, you make a lot of money, you get all the rewards. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, I was in this little movie called Dazed and Confused. I would want both of those things.
Taylor?
Give me the cult classic. I'll take it.
All right, thanks, Mace, for
hopping
in.
That's a very short answer.
That's what Taylor does. That's why when you get a slightly longer one, you pay very close attention.
All right. Hey, I had fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Anytime, Mace.
All right, cool.
Or TT.
I got to go meet with Boss Amanda right now.
Uh-oh. So. Good luck.
Did you do yours?
I have, yes.
Was it bad?
I'm still here.
All right, good.
So,
good.
I mean, yeah.
There's hope. There's hope.
Good luck.
I think I'll be here at 1.
We'll see. Yeah, with 12:55, find out if Mace.
Well, you're not here Thursday and Friday. Coincidence or no coincidence?
Oh, that's right. I'm out there. Oh, yeah, you may be right.
Yeah. A trip or a vacation?
Gonna go spend some time with Mom.
Mom, out in a little desert run?
Yes, desert run.
Nice, nice, nice. All right. Sean McVay, 7 years into his NFL coaching career. Still the youngest head coach in the NFL. That is stupid. I'll explain why. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Chris does yoga.
Does he?
Yeah. Have you not heard him talk about it?
No, I actually have not.
Chris is a regular yoga practitioner now. So maybe. But it feels stretching adjacent, which we know that I'm morally opposed to. I don't really do that. So I don't know. We will see. I feel like Homer Simpson in this particular punch. Just give me drugs and surgery. that's what I'm looking for. I don't need any of your holistic treatments. I need something that is just going to take the pain away for a temporary amount of time.
Did he recently take on yoga?
Emily, when did Chris start talking about yoga? A month or two ago?
Like maybe it was
before the new year.
Like October.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. He says he's getting better at it. It looks impossible. Like when you see people that really know how to do that, that looks like an act of gravity-defying impossibility.
You know what's crazy just to think about visually? Kareem was this, you know, famous practitioner of yoga. Someone of his size and length stretching and like contorting his body, that's kind of crazy.
It is. I put a pin in Kareem for a second because I want to talk about Victor Wembanyama at some point, which there's some comparison. Different styles of play, but size-wise, they're at least in the same ballpark. But speaking of pickleball, we're getting closer. The tournament, the inaugural Pickleball Madness tournament coming up March 18th from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. It is at the Agape Pickleball Center, Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. Reserve seating is still available. You can go to ESPNLA.com to register for that. The event is open to the general public. Huge thanks to some of our sponsors, Johnsonville, Hoffy, Zico Coconut Water. Andy, you're going to want to be hoarding those as we venture into the tournament. And if you're thinking, well, you know, the tournament's going on. The basketball tournament, which it is. We got TVs out there. You can watch all your college basketball. There's Papa Shot. There's pickleball demos. You can take a lesson, which I desperately need. Kids Zone, Beer Garden, complimentary food and drinks, live DJ and entertainment. There's prizes. There's giveaways. There's a 360 photo booth. There is a lot going on. And, of course, we'll all be playing pickleball. You and Brian are a team. Emily and Taylor are a team. Slee and I are a team. We're team Thick Van Exel, which I absolutely love. I think that's a very, very good name. So come on out and have a good time with us. If you came to the softball game, you know that those events are awesome. I have a feeling this is going
to
be very similar.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm also really looking forward to learning how to play pickleball.
So there's the kitchen. You can't go into the kitchen unless the ball bounces in the kitchen first. Then you can go in and play the ball in the kitchen. But you immediately have to exit the kitchen, reset your feet outside of the kitchen, and you can't play the ball out of the air until the third shot.
See, I don't like games with rules that sound like they're being made up on the spot to screw with you.
No.
Like, that sounds made up.
It's not.
That sounds like you're just screwing with me.
And the score has three numbers, not two.
Yeah, we went through that yesterday.
The score yesterday at one point was 8-9-2.
Yeah, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to try to hit the ball around. I'm going to put everybody on like the honor system. You just let me know, did I advance or did I lose?
I'm in a weird spot because at the risk of sounding slightly immodest, I am a reasonably good athlete. Or let me rephrase. I used to be a reasonably good athlete.
You were a college athlete.
I was a college athlete. I got a scholarship to perform athletics in college.
I mean, Santa Barbara, but still.
Division I. Okay, Big West, how dare you?
More like Division 1.5, but still.
They did get beat by Oregon State yesterday. But I played basketball in high school. I can run with, you know, I'm not fast, but I don't look like I've never done it before. I can do things, right? I can catch and throw a football sure. like a person. I'm out there playing pickleball yesterday, and I think, oh, I can get there. That's a one quick step to my right, plant your right foot, scoop the ball up, flip it over the net, and get back to the middle. Like, my brain is still cooking. Like, I know what to do, and I'm just standing there. And it doesn't ever actually happen anymore. 51 years old, 51 pounds overweight, probably more. And I just, my brain is willing and my flesh is weak, Andy.
That's like me. It's a different setting, but same basic premise. My daughter has started learning guitar.
Okay.
And when I've been taking her to guitar lessons, she takes it at the Guitar Center. They have a section of percussion and drums. And I grew up playing drums, but I've not played in a long time. And the first lesson I took her to, I just went down in the percussion section and tried screwing around. I'm so bad.
I'm so bad now. It's use it, you lose it?
Yeah. And on top of it, like you said, my mind knows what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, in my head, I picture myself playing exactly like I did before. I am shockingly bad now.
Welcome to the club.
It's an awful feeling.
Welcome to the club. This is why you got to find something that's, I don't know what the, Taylor, help me out here. What's like music adjacent? Because I can go play golf and feel like I still have some sort of ability because I'm an okay golfer. I can hold my own. And it makes me feel like I can still do some things. What's the music equivalent of that? That's not real athletics, but athletics adjacent.
Karaoke maybe?
Oh, no, I never had any place in that world.
You can't sing?
I grew up doing a lot of theater, and in high school, I got cast in 3 out of the 4 musicals, you know, my 4 high school years. I was only in 1 singing scene in 3 musicals, and I was told by the director, mouth it. And this is how bad I apparently was with the mouth it thing. The scene that I was in, I actually went, like me and a few other actors, went out into the audience. So I said to the director, I'm like, if I'm mouthing it, they're going to know. And he said, okay.
I can live with that.
Yeah, for some reason, he wanted to block me where I think he thought I would be entertaining in the audience.
Yeah.
But he still said, don't sing.
What was the production?
I believe it was Pippin.
Okay.
I think it was Pippin that I went out in the audience. But every other, I always got cast in the big non-singing role, like the biggest non-singing role, which was great because I didn't really want to sing. I wanted to do the acting stuff.
Uh-huh.
So every year I got put in the biggest non-singing role, except one year with Pippin. For some reason, they had to put me in this thing.
There's usually not a ton of non-singing roles in musicals. There's some spots that you can come in and do a monologue or whatever.
But that's what they're known for, you know, singing. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of in the stage title.
Well, the one year I didn't make it, I remember like the director, the musical theater director, who he was a great, really great guy. He was really good to me. He actually sat me down and explained to me why I didn't get cast. And it was because that year they did Grease.
Okay.
And basically every role in Grease.
You would have made a good Rizzo.
I did have the smoking down. every role in Grease sang except for the role of Eugene, the dork. And he basically said, like, don't repeat this. I cast somebody who looked dorkier than you. Like, he's like, the guy that we cast looks dorkier.
I could dork it up. I promise. Give me a shot.
Yeah, give me some glasses. Yeah. Give me some glasses.
I can put a little tape in the middle. High school as well. It's just like, it's funny because there are always way less guys trying. So almost every guy that auditioned gets a big role. And so it's, I feel like it took a lot for them to be like,
were you a theater kid?
Yeah, I was a theater kid.
Okay.
Major theater kid energy.
Taylor, theater kid?
No, my school didn't have theater.
No. We have
just
one.
Fiddle.
Or that.
Wow.
No.
Nothing?
There was a band, like a marching band, but I wasn't in
did
that.
Did you have that? Oh, I was going to say, I can picture you in one of those tall, you're like, you're already, what are you, 6'5"?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 6'5" plus the hat. He's like Fletch. He's 6'9" with the band hat along the way. Sean McVay, youngest coach in the NFL, still 7 years in. That's next. It's Travis Slee, and he's in for Slee on 710 ESPN.